chapter 1, the history of the life of Ajamil. Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 6, chapter 1, text 60, or is it? What is it? Huh? 56 and 57. Okay. Please repeat. I am
he.
Shruta Sampana Shila Vritta Gunalaya Dritta Vrato Mridhur Danta Satya Van Mantra Vik Chuchi Guru Vagni Atititi Vridhanam Shushushur Anahankrita Sarvabhuta Suri Sadhur Mita Vag Anasuyaka Aham hi Sruta Sampana Shila Vritta Gunalaya Dritta Vrato Mrido Danta Satyavan Mantra Vikchuhi Guru Vagni Atititi Vridhanam Shushushurahankrita Sarvabhuta Surit Sadho Mita Bhag Anasuyaka Aham hi Shruta Sampana Sila Vritta Gunalaya Drita Vrato Mrido Dhanta Satyavan Mantra Vikchuhi Guru Vagni Atitit Ti Vridhanam Shushushur Anahankrita Sarvabhuta Surit Sadhur Mita Vaganasuyaka. Please chant bravely, vigorously. Nirvaktum idam dhatur. Matijis, one brave Matiji, liberated. Ayanam hi Shruta Sampana
Sila Vritta Gunalaya
Please repeat. I am this person known as Ajamil.
He
indeed Shruta Sampana, well educated in Vedic knowledge, Shila
of good character,
Vritaha good conduct.
Guna
and good qualities.
Alaya,
the reservoir.
Dridavrataha,
fixed in the execution of the Vedic injunctions. Mriduhu, very mild. Dantaha, completely controlling the mind and senses. Satyavak,
always truthful.
Mantravit,
knowing how to chant the Vedic hymns.
Suchihi,
always very neat and clean.
Guru,
the spiritual master.
Agni,
the fire god.
Atiti,
guests.
Vridhanam,
and of the household members.
Shushushu,
very respectfully engaged in the service.
Anahankaritaha,
without pride or false prestige.
Sarvabhuta Surit,
friendly to all living entities.
Sadhu,
well behaved.
No one could find any fault
in his character.
Mitavak,
talking with great care.
Not to speak nonsense.
Anusuyakaha,
not envious.
Translation, Srila Prabhupada.
In the beginning, this Brahmana, named Ajamil, studied all the Vedic literatures. He was a reservoir of good character, good conduct, and good qualities. Firmly established in executing all the Vedic injunctions, he was very mild and gentle, and he kept his mind and senses under control. Furthermore, he was always truthful. He knew how to chant the Vedic mantras, and he was also very pure. Ajamil was very respectful to his spiritual master, the fire god, guests, and the elderly members of his household. Indeed, he was free from false prestige. He was upright, benevolent to all living entities, and well-behaved. He would never speak nonsense or envy anyone. Please repeat, in the beginning, this Brahmana named Ajamil studied all the Vedic literatures. He was a reservoir of good character, good conduct, and good qualities. Firmly established in executing all the Vedic injunctions, he was very mild and gentle. And he kept his mind and senses under control. Furthermore, he was always truthful. He knew how to chant the Vedic mantras. And he was also very pure. Ajamil was very respectful to his spiritual master, the fire god, guests, and elderly members of his household. Indeed, he was free from false prestige. He was upright, benevolent to all living entities, and well behaved. He would never speak nonsense or envy anyone. Purport, Srila Prabhupada. The order carriers of Yamaraj, the Yamadutas, are explaining the factual position of piety and impiety and how a living entity is entangled in this material world. Describing the history of Ajamil's life, the Yamadutas relate that in the beginning he was a learned scholar of the Vedic literature. He was well behaved, neat and clean, and very kind to everyone. In fact, he had all good qualities. In other words, he was like a perfect Brahmana. A Brahmana is expected to be perfectly pious, to follow all the regulative principles, and to have all good qualities. The symptoms of piety are explained in these verses. Srila Viraraghava Acharya comments that Dridavrata means dhritam vritam stri sanga rahi yatmaka brahmacharya rupam. In other words, Ajamiyo followed the rules and regulations of celibacy as a perfect brahmachari and was very soft-hearted, truthful, clean and pure. How he fell down in spite of all these qualities and thus came to be threatened with punishment by Yamaraj will be described in the following verses. Mukam karochi vachalam phangam naite girim yat kripa tamaham bande sri guru dinatarinam. Ayam hi shruta sampanaha srila vritta gunalayaha dhrita vrata mridam dantaha satyavan mantra vikshuhi. Guruvagni atiti vridhanam shushushur ahankritaha sarva bhuta surit sadhur mita vag anasuyakaha. Translation to Prabhupada. In the beginning, this Brahman named Ajamil studied all the Vedic literatures. He was a reservoir of good character, good conduct, and good qualities. Firmly established in executing all the Vedic injunctions, he was very mild and gentle, and he kept his mind and senses under control. Furthermore, he was always truthful. He knew how to chant the Vedic mantras, and he was also very pure. Ajamiya was very respectful to his spiritual master, the fire god, guests, and the elderly members of his household. Indeed, he was free from false prestige. He was upright, benevolent to all living entities, and well-behaved. He would never speak nonsense or envy anyone. So, the history of the life of Ajamiya. So this is, of course, very instructive. It's very interesting. The sixth canto is also dealing with a fall down in this section. The fifth canto also, one of the central themes is the problems that came upon the son of Rishabhdev, Bharat Maharaj. Rishabhdev, he retired and he appointed Bharat Maharaj, the foremost of his 100 sons, to rule the kingdom. Bharat Maharaj, later on in life, he retired to the forest. He was performing bhajan, and acharyas explained that he was almost attaining bhava bhakti, but he gained attachment to a deer. The mother was killed, the deer was killed. He looked after the deer, he forgot his bhajan, he lost his status, and at the time of death he remembered the deer that was so dear to him. He became a deer. Then in the next life, realizing his mistake, in the body of the deer, due to his advanced consciousness, developed consciousness through his sadhana, he could understand his mistake and remember his past lives. He used to associate with the sadhus in the forest, even though in the body of a deer. He would go to the ashram of where the sadhus were and sit quietly, listening to their discourses, satatam kirtyo yanto mam. The devotees, they always discuss Krishna, their realizations of Krishna and the Vedic conclusion. So in his next life, when he cast off the deer body, it was no longer dear to him, he became Jadbharat. He was named Jadbharat. He was also in a Brahmin family. But this time He thought, through material affection for a deer, my heart was captured by a deer, and I was distracted from Krishna. So therefore, I'll just act jarred, very dull, not react to people too much, so that I can keep Krishna within my heart and please him by my thought, words and deeds. That is the materialistic problem. We're keeping our own goals within our heart and bound by fruitive activity, conditioned by the modes of material nature. We think that this material energy is a wonderful arena for adjustment of suffering and attainment of sensual happiness, mental, physical, emotional. However, these emotions, they are contaminated by the modes of material nature. And they bind us to repeated birth and death. So Jad Bharat had already seen that problem. So he ignored the world. And within his heart, he performed the bhajan of Krishna. The materialistic person, he's conditioned, what? To achieve his own enjoyment. So he wanders the world trying to accrue material facilities, material objects, material relationships. And he thinks this will be the source of happiness and protection from birth, death, old age, disease, adidevic, adibodhic, adiatmic misery. He thinks this will be the solution. But then death comes. And Jai. Shri Sri Gaunitai, Sri Guru Parampara, Krishna Balaram, Radhisham Sundar, Lalit Vishaka, Chalagram Maharaj, Giri Govardhan, Govmata, Tulsi Maharani, Vrindavan Dham, Srimad Bhagavatam Ke, Saru Sangha, Ke Jai. So we think that this material world, the prison house, Durga Dham, the place of Janma, Mrityu, Vyadi, unavoidable, birth, death, old age and disease, the place of illusion, the place of loss, the place of duality. We think that in this miserable body full of stool and urine and bones and blood and microbes and germs, that we will be happy. But we will only get repeated birth and death. We'll be jammed into a womb, a so-suffering condition, that when we eventually come to consciousness in the sixth, seventh month, we'll be passing out through the claustrophobia, through the biting of our siblings, the bugs. They will chew on our skin. They will enter into the crevices of our fetus body. And they will think that this is a wonderful thing to chew on, to get some happiness. And this is what we will achieve through performing all our material duties wonderfully. So Jad Bharat wasn't going to take that. But of course, that is a very wonderful story. But here, this is a more human story, the story of Ajamila. That is extraordinary, and it teaches us, the Bhagavatam is teaching us the process of reincarnation, the danger of material affection through Rishabhdev. But very much so in Kali Yuga, the solution is given in the story of Ajamila. He was a young Brahmana boy. We can understand he had a spiritual master from this verse. He was well trained. He knew all the Vedic conclusions. His character was good. What is a Brahmana? Brahmana, Brahman Janati. This is the Vedic statement. He knows Brahman, that which is supreme. Interestingly, Brahmana, Janati Brahman. What is Brahman? Three phases. Paramatma, Bhagavan, and of course, in personal aspect, Brahmeti. So it is not stated here, in the verse here, the description of his character and activities, guna and karma, it is not described that he had ecstatic love, ecstatic attachment, bhava bhakti. It does not explain that he was raga, raga dvesha samudtena. It doesn't explain, what is that verse? Vishya vinivartante nihirasya dehina raso vharjam risopyasya param drisva nivartite. It doesn't explain that he was overwhelmed in ecstatic love of God. It doesn't say that his heart, mind and senses were running after Krishna at every moment. It says he's a brahmana. It says he had good qualities. He was performing nicely. But it doesn't explain that he had gone beyond Vaidhi Bhakti to ecstatic attachment. He wasn't an Uttamadhikari. Rishabhdev had explained the Acharyas through his bhajan, as we say, he was attaining the level of Bhava Bhakti, Uttamadhikari. Four stages of bhakti, subdivided into two. Vaidhi Bhakti, rules and regulations, regulative principles, chanting, mantras, so on and so forth. And then, within that format, one should cultivate rag. That is Vaidhi Bhakti. Rag means one should hear and chant the name, form, qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And in that way, realize the quality of Krishna. Many people may believe in some higher force, some God, but they haven't realized that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. This is Lord Brahma. There are many, many people, they think there's some higher principle, some chemical formula that is Brahman. Atato Brahma Jignas. I will find out the grand unified field theory. I will write the chemical equation, physics equation, that will explain the reality. Everybody believes that there is some source, some explanation. And they may inquire, and they may enter into upadharmas, and they may perform yogic activities, meditation, even in Kali Yuga, they may go to clubs and bend their body. But they haven't realized the end point of knowledge. And that is that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Janati Purushottam sa sava vid vijati mam sava bhavena bharata. Krishna explains in the Gita that if you understand Krishna as Ishvara Parama Krishna Sarva Karana Karanam Anadi Radhya Govinda, that you will have come to the end of knowledge. When you've come to that realization. Many people may come from other religious systems, they believe in a God, but then they read the Bhagavatam, they read the Gita, and in their neophyte condition, they have may find a dichotomy. Before they had an idea of God, but now there's Krishna. So, is Krishna God? That is the question. That is the path of bhakti, to realize the supremacy of Krishna, Ishvara Parama Krishna. How is that done? How does one go from that Vaidhi platform, rag, to that Bhava and Uttamadhikari platform of Prem Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti? The subdivision there is Bhava Bhakti and Prem. How do you go from that? You must hear. Hearing. If you read this purport, Prabhupada 4.11, Janmakama Tame Divyam, right? Krishna is explaining that when you understand that I am the Supreme Lord, and that my birth and activities, my character, these are all divine. When you realize me in truth, tatvataha, then You will never take birth in this material world again. I will take you to the other side of birth and death, to the other side of material misery. So the process of bhakti is to realize not just that there is Ishvara Parama, but that Ishvara Parama is Krishna. So how will you do that? You will understand Krishna as Ishvara Parama when you become absorbed in the Bhagavatam, when the words of the Acharyas become your guiding light, when you hear. This realization will come from the heart. Just in the same way, Ajamil, he had developed good character, but it was from the material mode of goodness. These are all material mode goodness, and they are wonderful, and they are to be cultivated. There's a very long list here of personal characteristics, activities, his social behavior. He was pure, kind, benevolent, respectful. He was doing everything. But there's not mention of ecstatic attachment. And that is why Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishne Krishna Chaitanya. That's why Lord Chaitanya is the greatest incarnation. The greatest avatar. Incarnation is not good, it means in body, put in body. Actually, avatar, one who descends. So actually, Krishna doesn't take a material body. When Lord Chaitanya and his associates appear, they come in Satchidananda Vigraha, fully potent, unlimited Shakti. They manifest in this world. And why are they the greatest? Because they give Krishna Prema Pradayate. If one takes shelter of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and does their bhajan, does their puja, follows Upadesha Kuro, the Srimad Bhagavat, Chaitanya Bhagavat says three things we have to do to be the devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And that is bhajo Krishna, worship Krishna, take Krishna as your Ishtadev, Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Bolo Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And if you chant, and then Krishna Upadesha Kuro, Vrindavan Das says, follow the instructions of Krishna. Follow the instructions of Shastra. Shastra is Krishna. So you follow the rules and regulations, attain purity like Ajamil. Develop good character through association with the mode of goodness. Yes, that is a good foundation, no doubt. But you, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, you appeal to them. And you appeal that, please, Lord Nityananda, give me some lobha so that I can purchase the holy name. Lord Nityananda has opened a marketplace. He's selling the holy name. But how do you purchase the holy name? You don't purchase it with money. You purchase it with Shraddha will grow to lobha. If you hear the pastimes of Krishna and you realizing through this hearing process, studying the Shastra, coming to Bhagavatam, having your own program of studying, if you study the pastimes of Krishna, your faith will increase and your attraction to Krishna. The more you realize Krishna, Krishna is all attractive, the more you will be attracted. If you're not becoming more attracted to Krishna, that means you're not progressing. If you are becoming more attracted, it means you're progressing in realization. And the result will be that whenever you associate, as we all know, with something that's attractive, you want that thing. That's the meaning of attraction. That which captures the heart. That which draws us towards it. That's the meaning of krish. That which is attractive. So the very essence of Krishna is attraction. So if we're actually realizing Krishna, we will be increasing our attraction. So this is the source of lobha. This is the basis. In the beginning, we have to conjure up this lobha, desire for Krishna prem. But eventually, as we realize Krishna through this medium of bhakti, we will just have no other concern. That is the in that verse, Vishivana. One who thinks about Krishna, he is never shaken in the greatest calamity, the greatest difficulty. He has no other object of contemplation. He has no other shelter. He has no other place to run to within his mind and body to make problems go away, to achieve happiness. He has no other solution other than Krishna's lotus feet. So, until we attain that, these stories, Rishabhdev and Ajameel, they teach us that we should be very careful. Ajameel, yes. Eventually the Vishnudutas will sort out the problem and the Yamadutas will withdraw. And then Ajameel will continue and it will find out that he has to perform bhajan and develop this ecstatic attachment. He has to develop this desire. He has to have this aim. We are all motivated by our desires. So what desire are we going to keep in the core of our heart? And that is lobha. It is that desire to attain a condition whereby we can be pleasing to Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Gaur Nitai and all the devotees. That is the goal. Just like we were saying earlier, materialist is always thinking how it can use everything for me. The spiritualist is thinking how I can use everything for Krishna in Krishna's service. Not exactly everything. Nirbandha Krishna Sambande Yukta Raya Vairagya Sayuchite. That we should follow Upadesha Kuro. We should follow the rules and regulations and act in bhakti according to those rules and regulations given by the Guru. And then we should keep this goal in mind, that let my service be pleasing, let it be an offering. Just like we cook some foodstuff, let this be pleasing to you, Lord, please accept this. So our whole devotional activity, 24 hours a day, should be performed as an offering to Krishna. That's our motivation. We don't have this materialistic motivation whereby we're trying to enjoy this world and run away from suffering. We think, let suffering come, let this problem come. And let me offer Nirbandha, all the correct things under the guidance of the Guru to Krishna. Let he be pleased. So this is the result of attraction. And this is the end point of all religion. Sometimes we watch the goal of, there was some discussion, what's the end point of Archanam, what's the end point of this, and people are saying, oh, the end point of that, and the end point is that Krishna and Krishna's devotees should be pleased. That is the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, nobody is selfishly trying to attain some status. Just like I say, false prestige. They're not considering their own self. They're not hung up on their own desires. No, they are considering, let me please my fellow devotees. Let me please my Supreme Lord. We have to contemplate this basic difference between material and spiritual consciousness. We have to contemplate it and hold the conclusion in our heart. Then we will be motivated. Sometimes we come to Krishna consciousness, well, I don't like the material world. It's hellish. Okay, let me hide in the temple. But that is negative. That's okay. But really, you should be developing the desire that may my service, my words, mind, and thought be pleasing to the Supreme Lord and His devotees. May be that the end of my Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevana, Archanam, Vandanam. May all that be pleasing to the Supreme Lord. Huh? That is the eternal motivation of the liberated soul. The perverted condition is here, in this material world. And by the mercy of Supreme Lord, we have birth, death, old age and disease to wake us up to this foolish condition. In a slaughterhouse, in a prison house, trying to make a permanent arrangement for our own happiness. How foolish is this? So, we should take to contemplation of Krishna's service and do everything for the pleasure of the spiritual master. That is perfection. That is the goal of everything. So we'll finish at this point and ask for questions. Well, that's an interesting point also, the Brahmana, the old Vedic culture. I don't think this time, this period, this picture is of Kali Yuga. So he was obviously in a very sophisticated, developed Brahminical family. And perhaps one of the deities that the family worshipped was Agni. Of course, those in knowledge worship Agni and Indra and all the demigods as the extensions, as the limbs of the Supreme Lord. So you may have been doing that. There's nothing wrong with that. Foolish people think, oh, the Hindus, they worship the cow. No, we worship everyone. Atithi, we worship the guests. Many times in the Shastra is said you should worship the guest as Narayan, because one day Narayan may come as a guest. So the worship of Agni, the devas, the cows, the land, that is very important. Now, this demoniac civilization, they pass everything off as impersonal atoms and molecules coming from a void, some ridiculous idea. And they have no respect for the material energy because they don't see it in relation. They have no respect for people with power and energy, like it is said here. He was respected, respecting the elderly members. Rupa and Sanatan, I think Sanatan, when the Khan, he was the prime minister of some big Muslim ruler that was always charging around, killing people and expanding the kingdom. So they got fed up, and he used to, Sanatan, he would gather some Brahmins, they would read Bhagavatam. But when this demoniac personality came in, they still stood up in respect. So power, position, experience, knowledge, these manifest in people as they become mature. So elderly people should be respected. So everything was there, Vedic culture. They're representing the Supreme Lord. The Khan, he was a big powerful man. So you might say, oh, he's a Muslim, killing people, making war, making trouble. How can he be respected? But because he is in a position, he is somehow graced by the Supreme Lord. So that should be respected. So in the Vedic civilization, everything, the demigods, everything is known. The position of the material energy, the position of the cow, the respect for the elders is there. But just becoming a perfectly cultured gentleman is not the goal of life. because you see here, he was subject. When he was a young boy, in his innocence, he was gathering flowers. He saw a prostitute and a drunken man, both were drunk, engaging in illicit sex. He became agitated. So the problem is to get that ecstatic attachment to Krishna. And that will protect us from the agitations that naturally come. Actually, that is given in the, let's see, if we can get a Kindle to work. Actually, somebody should invent books and then we wouldn't need Kindles. I've got an idea, it's called a book. It's much more easy to reference. Yes. Here are the 9 symptoms of somebody who is attaining bhava. Chapter 18, Nectar of Devotion. Character of one in ecstatic love. 9 symptoms are given. He is always anxious to utilize his time in devotional service of the Lord. So therefore he may neglect Agni, and he's focused on Supreme Lord, and Agni will not be upset because he is servant. He does not like to be idle. He wants service always, 24 hours a day without deviation. He is always reserved and perseverant. He is always detached from material attraction. He does not long for any material respect in return for his activities. He is always certain that Krishna will bestow his mercy upon him. He is always eager to serve the Lord faithfully. He is very much attached to the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. He is always eager to describe the transcendental qualities of the Lord. He is very pleased to live in a place where the Lord pastimes are performed. Mathura, Vrindavan, Dwarka. So, you can read that chapter 18, it's very instructive. So through the mercy of Gaur Nitai, one can go from the mode of goodness and all these good qualities to transcendence. And there one will be, what is that verse? Ekeha Kurunandana, Bahushakosi Anantasya. Be one-pointed. That doesn't mean to say then one disrespects these things. But somebody, character of somebody in ecstatic love, often he is not following rules and regulations. So sometimes a neophyte may look, oh, what's he doing? He's not, he's not doing everything correctly according to the Bhakta program manual. So he may look at somebody, but that is... a dangerous condition, because we should serve one another, not try to find fault. But of course we shouldn't be blind. So it's a matter of wisdom, applied knowledge. But the devotee who is fixed on Krishna, he may give up all these peripheral, you can say, and he may be just sitting under a tree, absorbed. Right? 7th canto, we'll see that. Prahlad Maharaj, he goes around the universe visiting the saintly people. And so one time he comes upon a man who is very stout, and he's lying on the side of the road. He's not going to Mangalarti. He's not got a Brahmin thread on. He's not having a bath 3 times a day. But Prahlad Maharaj is coming to see him. And he's asking him, what are you doing? Oh, well, I can't be bothered looking for food. If something comes in my mouth, that's okay. I'm just absorbed in thought of my beloved Lord. That in itself is pleasing to the Lord, of course. So, This is very instructive, you see. This Bhagavatam is bringing us now to ecstatic understanding. It's preparing us for the 10th canto. So the Brijbasis, they're not following rules and regulations, studying the Vedas 4 hours a day, studying Harinam, Vyakaranam, Harinam Amrita. They're not studying all those things. But their heart is just running to the service of Krishna. But prior to that, we should be very careful to follow the rules of sadhana. And then even within the advanced stage, acharyas like Srila Prabhupada, Ramanuja, they maintain an external display of rules and regulations to guide the neophytes. But we should understand the more esoteric aspects of Krishna consciousness. But the sahajiya wants to imitate those higher platforms without having gone through the Vaidhi platform. So we must understand the balance. Vaidhi is like a big protective cage within which we can cultivate pure devotion. So any other question? Yes? So respecting the demigods may be part of that, and in this case it was. Yes, go ahead.
From the life history of Ajamila, we can see that he's in the mode of goodness, because he's not totally serving the Vishnu.
What's that?
He's totally not serving Vishnu, that's why he found out.
Who's not serving Vishnu? You?
Ajamila.
Oh, Ajamil, he's not serving Vishnu.
But if he's surrendered to Vishnu, how can he get the chances of his body?
Well, that's why I've been trying to explain for the last half an hour. Because he was on the platform of Vaidhi. Ecstatic attachment, bhava bhakti, prem bhakti had not arisen. So he was in a weak condition. Even though he was following all the rules and regulations, even the mode of goodness. But apparently there was not ecstatic attachment, loving attachment. So how to go to that? As I explained, through hearing and chanting the pastimes of the Lord. This is very important. Yes, go ahead. I don't understand the thrust of your question. He did not fall down.
He must not fall down. He's serving Vishnu.
Well, apparently you can.
Considering our condition.
Apparently you can fall down. We have Rishabdev. You can be serving Vishnu in the neophyte condition and very easily fall down. One moment without thinking of Krishna is fall down. One moment of self-motivation is fall down. 1 millisecond of contemplation of the objects of the senses with a view to enjoying is fall down. 1 moment of fruitive desire is fall down. We are fallen. We're trying to get out of the fallen condition. We should always consider that I am fallen. We shouldn't think, I'm fixed now in the service of Vishnu, I can't fall down. That is like being on a battlefield fighting the enemy and thinking, I've got a good gun, no problem. The problem is the other guy's got a bigger gun. So Maya can play a game with you in one instant. Every single neophyte here, if Maya wants, she knows exactly how to make you fall down. She knows exactly your conditioning. And if that's what you want, she'll supply all the facility. And you'll think you're doing it yourself. But, so we should always maintain this humility. We see the acharyas What does, I don't even want to repeat what Krishna Das Kaviraj says at the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Somebody takes my name, I am lower than, and if somebody takes my name, they lose all. But this is a prem, this is Mahabhagwat, Uttamarikari, this is Manjari. This is, and is maintaining humility. So never think I can't fall down. Prabhupada once said, of course we were all very fired up and ebullient, 20-year-old brahmacharis going mad in kirtan, but still Prabhupada said, my devotees, my disciples, they have one problem, they don't fear Maya. Huh? They think I can't fall down. Of course, when you take shelter of a great Mahabhagavat with sincerity, you will feel liberated, you will feel power. But you should remember that your power is very, very small. Therefore, you need to take shelter by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And we shouldn't think, if I chant, I will not fall down. We should think, if I chant, I can stop being fallen. Any other question?
I'm thinking, here we are seeing Shuddha Sampanna Mantravit.
Huh?
Here in this yoga, this is Shuddha Sampanna Mantravit. So, that is the, say like, the Vedic tradition or the, it's not the Puranas, it's not the Bhakti tradition, it's older or it's prior to Mahaprabhu. So can we take this also as...
Well educated in Vedic knowledge. Well, everything is there in the Vedas, it's just that Mahaprabhu, because he's Kali Yuga Dharma Avatar, he bringing forward the chanting of Hare Krishna. So everything is already in the Vedas, everything there, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Bhadrasam, everything is described in the Vedas. So, but he was educated in that particular time. Of course, there's no information whether this was Kali Yuga or not, but there is a hint in the Rishabdev story, but from the conditions we can see that it was a very pure time. Brahmanas now don't go to the forest anymore. They try to show the pilgrims around the holy dham and extract some money. And then they watch television in the evening and chew pan. So he was a pure one. He was pure, following the traditions. And it doesn't say it was any particular aspect, it just says well educated in Vedic knowledge. So that means the whole thing. It's explained there. He knew the mantras, he knew how to chant, he knew everything. Lord Chaitanya is mentioned in the Vedas. He may have known about Lord Chaitanya. But the thing is, different avatars, they bring different practices forward for different yugas. So it's interesting, he was chanting the mantras. It doesn't mention about chanting directly the bhajan of Krishna. So, yes. Satisfied? Okay then. So we'll finish at this point. Oh, and another thing that will all